Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Tom Thayer joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Hey, Tom, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I sit here with great disappointment, man.
Oh,
I can't hide it. It's weird because you have 2 weeks leading up to the anticipation of this game, and everything is going to get back on track, and then you have 3 hours to sit there and describe it, and you never got the lead, you never took advantage of your opportunities, and you just let it slip away. And, there's just a lot of different avenues of frustration, from the ex-player to a Bears fan to the announcer. It was just a frustrating day.
What was the most disappointing aspect of the game for you?
Just the overall lack of enthusiastic football play. I mean, domination on both lines of the scrimmage by Green Bay. Instances of mistakes that are come back, and you have back-to-back penalties that, set you back, and it's tough for Trubisky to overcome a defensive coordinator like that, like Dom Capers, when you're just backing up. How effective their running game was on first down and how ineffective the Bears' running game was throughout the game. 55 yards rushing. There's no way that you can go in there and play an opponent that has susceptibility finally at the quarterback position and go and think you're going to win it.
And I got to be honest with you, Tom. I felt bad about their chances in the pregame when I saw the injuries. Like, it was one of these things where I know they've been beaten up. I know that they've got some guys that are down, but after a bye week, you just hope they're going to come out healthy and ready to go. And they were down players all over the place.
Well, that's been the haunting at the wide receiver position since. I thought that they would have three tight ends that can make up for one tight end, and Zach Miller disappointed. Deion Sims missed with whatever illness he has. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. I honestly thought there'd be some momentum and some positive chatter inside the locker room that would come out to the field. And, I was just a little weary of it, because eventually Brett Huntley's going to get it. And eventually something good is going to happen for him, because you don't sit behind Aaron Rodgers inside the same system, understand the terminology, how it works at the line of scrimmage, and then just be a failure in the long run. So eventually something good was going to happen to him, and it happened yesterday with that nice long pass to Devontae Adams that he caught with one hand over Kyle Fuller. And, it was just the Bears were never able to recover and get the lead back.
So when you heard John Fox in the postgame say, we're close in seven games, we're a chance to win all those games, and just two that we're out of, I mean, is that good enough? We heard a couple of weeks ago it's about grit and it's competing, everything else. Is that's just the bar, and that he has to find a positive here? Or after a game like that, is that, just hollow words at that point?
Well, to me personally, I'm willing to write the slate clean after the first half of the season. Everything that was pointed in such a good direction going into the bye week, just that Trubisky's getting better. They are going to get players like Nick Kwiatkowski, back into the fold, and Dontrell Inman is going to have time to get a little bit more acclimated to the offense, and maybe a guy like Marcus Wheaton would be back to, give some contributions to the wide receiver position. But and just the unmotivated style of play that I saw yesterday, I'm not really concerned what was said. I was just more disappointed on yesterday's effort, and that's all I was looking at. I didn't even take the first half of the season in consideration.
That's got to be the worst ever challenge in the history of the league. And it's easy to sit here and talk about it. I was saying earlier, I talked to Lovey one time about why you challenge and when you pick your spots, and his whole thing, he had a whole philosophy based on any game turning play, any play that potentially could turn the game, like a fumble on the 2-yard line where you lost possession. you challenge it if it's close because that's a game-turning play. And the first one that comes up, you challenge it because that's the one that could change the game at that point. He had a philosophy. They didn't do very well on the challenges, but that was his philosophy, game-changing play. And then you look at this idea that the running back says in the post game, we're taught not to dive for the pylon because you don't want to lose the ball because it's so valuable to have the ball down there. Unless it's fourth down, you don't dive for the pylon. And then instead of taking the ball at the two, you want a touchdown out of it. That's the disconnect for me. And you know, who was watching what and who was saying what? I just don't understand philosophically why having the ball at the 2 yard line goal to goal is not good enough that you have to put at risk what they put at risk and lose the ball and have the other team at the 25 coming out.
Well, having the ball at the 2 and first down is good, you know, especially when you consider Jordan Howard and his instincts of running at that part of the field. But, you know, there's no flow chart of responsibility to whoever made the decision on that replay. Did they have, you know, the angles that they were seeing in the replay booth, were they not the best to really give clear evidence? Was there some rules that maybe you didn't understand what was going to happen if you did make the replay call and what the results were going to be? Because I do think that I think it shocked a majority of the people in the stands when they came back and made the announcement about the ball leaving the hands of the running back and the pylon and all that, because there were a lot of people, there was so much uncertainty inside the stadium, whether you were on the sidelines or in the stands, that I don't think a lot of people knew exactly what was going to happen as a result if you replayed it. But I think, you know, if you're, you know, first and goal at the 2, to me, I would take that field position anytime on first down.
He's Tom Thayer. A Visit with Tom brought to us by Ford. Tune in every Monday here on The Score to Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, brought to you by your local Ford stores. And Tom, you know, when you look at this team just can't get past 17 points. It's averaging 16 points, a little over 16 points per game. And it's tough to really judge the development of the quarterback given, you know, the talent around him. But that said, you know, how do you judge him 5 games in? Where do you think Mitch Trubisky is at currently? And is he exceeding it? Is he about where he thought he'd be? When you see the quarterback, what do you see?
I like to see the development that I see Mitchell Trubisky. But if you're going to make an honest evaluation of him and with him, you're going to have to sit in the room with him. You're going to understand, get the terminology in front of you. And see what is all the assignments being done correctly according to the huddle call. And that's, you know, from the running backs to the quarterbacks to every offensive lineman to every wide receiver. That is really going to be, you know, how you're going to be able to critically evaluate every position there, is making sure they're doing the right things. But, you know, when I see Mitchell Trubisky, where he's at in terms of NFL experience, I'm not disappointed with him. And it's always going to be about the supporting cast. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that can make the supporting cast look great. And I think eventually that time will come with Mitchell Trubisky. But, you know, it's going to take seasoning. It's going to take games, you know, practices, OTAs, training camp, the repetitiveness of the same system year after year, and you know, that's ultimately we're going to see the best out of Mitchell Trubisky. But his commitment to being a great player, I do admire. I think he's a guy that is willing to do, you know, invest the extra personal time in order to get the best out of himself. And so the best is yet to come out of him. But, you know, you're going to have that supporting cast surrounding him that allows him to be the best quarterback he's capable of being.
Tom, what happened to the running game? I mean, what went wrong? Was it the tight ends not being able to block? Was it every time they tried to go outside, they weren't getting anywhere? You know, was Benny Cunningham playing more because he can catch the ball out of the backfield and they were worried about Cohen keeping his feet or something? I just couldn't figure out why they did it the way they did it.
You know, to me, running game specific is, you want to talk, you know, use that term zone blocking. So zone blocking is not a specifically identified point of attack. It's to let the running back use his natural instincts. Yeah, the offensive linemen are going to get into a blocking position, and now how does the vision of the running back going to take him to the nearest point of opportunity against the defense? Okay. So now going back to an era that we played in, we had specific points of attack. If we called a slant 24, it meant Walter's going to get the ball. He's going to go through the four hole. He's going to get as much as the offense allow him, and then he's going to be the running back that his God-given talent is going to allow him to be. And so now you face a quarterback that doesn't have a great deal of experience. You're always going to face an eight-man or a nine-man front. That means you're always going to have an unblocked tackler at the second level at least. And so if you do use a zone blocking scheme and you think you see a backside run, you're going to be running right into an unblocked tackler. So if you want to be determined to run the ball during the growth period of a young quarterback, you better be able to hit the point of attack that allows you to create those bigger plays, because now you're challenging a blocked second-level tackler. You're getting to the third level. If you want to go out there and think that you can challenge eight- and nine-man fronts without earning the point of attack, it's going to be really tough for an offensive running back to succeed, because you're always going to face that guy that doesn't have a blocker attached to him.
Yeah. I got to tell you, this is so disappointing. That game, beyond anything else, just leaves you with this empty feeling, and this idea that, you know, it's horseshoes or hand grenades and they were close does not it fire anyone's imagination. It's just everyone feels hollow today. It's just
the sad thing about it is the fan base is they're the one that is left with the most hollow of feelings, because you have a couple weeks with a bye week that you're running around the city, you're meeting people in different events or different things that you're going to, and there's such a positive feeling about the, you know, we finally got a quarterback. Jordan Howard is awesome. You know, the defense is really coming to life like they used to. And then you have the rug pulled out from underneath your feet, and you're just back to ground zero. And that's that was the saddest thing about yesterday.
All right, Tom. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Take care, Tommy.
That's our guy, Tom Thayer. Man.
That's it. I mean, it's a gut punch.
It's a gut punch.
It takes the air right out of you. Okay, now what do I believe in? What do I see? What do I believe in?
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That's Akeem Hicks talking about the message the coach was sending after the game.
So he told the team exactly what he told everyone in the media room. We're close. Got to keep, you know, we're close in seven games, but those two.
That's just not good enough, is it?
Well, that's seemingly
close
where the...
okay? Is that where the bar set?
Yeah, is that... Right.
Monica is on with Mully and Hanley. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah. Yeah, living the dream,
yeah,
Monica.
I mean,
just trying to keep a beat.
Yeah, exactly. It's annoying. Just like you said, is that where the bar is set? No, being close is not close enough. Bears, the number one thing for a Bears fan, I think every single person listening to me right now, the number one thing for a Bears fan is to beat the Packers. Period. You tell me we lost at home 8 in a row? That's 8 years I've been a Bears fan that we lose to the Packers at our home? Get out of here. If the Bears really were serious about being a playoff team, they'd cut the cancer today, and they'd cut off Dow Loggins, and if that means cutting him off, cuts off Fox, then they would do it, and they're not serious about it. Maybe, okay, they're fluffing the quarterback, yada, yada, yada. No, they're not. They're just sitting. The McCaskey sit on money. Nobody wants to win, you know.
Well, let me ask you, Monica, and I'm not arguing with you about the need for change and what you want to see happen, but who then is the play caller? How do you get to through the Lions totally. If you have no Dow Loggins? I mean, I'm just saying, there's no one else on the roster that's a... Mark Sanchez.
I just want to get you going.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah, I totally agree, but at this point, it feels like, especially because Dow Loggins, I can't believe they kept him after they released Cutler. I mean, I thought we were getting a clean slate when we released Cutler and that whole 10 years of a waste of a life of the Bears, and I thought we were going to cut clean, and they didn't cut that guy out. If they were serious about starting over the whole team, or we're in rebuild mode, we're not even at the rebuild mode yet. Now, John Fox, you got to give him the respect that he deserves. I really can't say the worst is upon him. I think Dow Loggins is saving his ass right
now.
Yeah,
but Monica, who hired Dow Loggins?
I know. That's
I'm just saying, you know what? What qualification the number one qualification that Dow Logan's has, the number one thing is that John Fox hired him, because Fox hired guys like Gaze, like McCoy, guys that went on to be head coaches, right? So, I mean, that is the highlight of what Dow Logan's has going for him, is that Fox thinks he's good enough to hire him. The fact that you stay with him, and this is the trick bag, and thanks for the phone call, Monica, but the trick bag that you fall into is that if you bring John Fox back next year, what does he do then?
Right.
I mean, does he, you know, do you extend him? Do you let him play out his contract?
Do you give him a directive that you can come back, but you have to get a new play caller?
Okay, but how do you get a play caller if you're on a one-year deal?
It's very
complicated. How do you bring somebody?
It's all tricky. Yeah.
It's all tricky.
And Jim Harbaugh's coming here for what, $10 million? So, you know, you have your fantasy list, your wish list. Are the McCaskies going to double the head coaching pay and then pay all Jim Harbaugh's assistants the top dollar?
Pay $5 million for Fox
and all the assistants to go away who are still under contract.
And I feel sorry for a lot of those guys, because it's hard to get jobs and keep jobs, and you don't wish that upon anyone. John Fox getting $5 million to, you know, sit on a beach. Would he argue with that right now, given the way things are going?
You know what? At this point in his career, he wins either way, right?
Stubb is in Dixon. Good morning, Stubb.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great talking to you this morning. One thing I like to say is I really like your 5 at 5 in the morning.
Thank you.
That's a great, great panel. But anyway, I want to get back 10 days to prep for this ball game. 10 days. And I understand we only had 3 full days of practice to get ready with a quarterbackless team up north.
Yeah, they didn't have much time. Right.
Yeah, they were on the short week. You didn't see it. Didn't notice it yesterday.
Right.
I'm talking about the Bears. We had 10 days to prep.
Yeah, they get four mandated days off.
But you're playing against a team that played on Monday night, and by the way, looked awful.
Embarrassed themselves on their home field.
Embarrassed themselves on national
television.
The Lions
didn't punt.
And another thing I want to ask, how in the hell do you get false starts with a noiseless crowd, especially 2 back-to-back?
Yeah,
on your home field.
Yeah. No, I mean, no question about it. Those penalties, pre-snap penalties, are people not prepared to play.
Right.
And that comes down to coaching. That's discipline. That's, you know.
Focus.
You can handle that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's not something and then John Fox made a point of saying in the postgame, well, we overcame it because they had 2 false start penalties and they were ahead of 1st and 20 and they ended up converting that one. You didn't overcome it for the game. Mark is in Barrington. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys, I don't think Dow Loggins is the problem when it comes to making play calls, and I'll disagree with the caller beforehand. I think if you let him go or Fox fires him tomorrow, he'll have a job by Wednesday. I was hearing Matt Hasselbeck talk about how well-respected Loggins is inside the NFL circle. So I think it's got more to do with the Bears just don't have enough playmakers at wide receiver, and they don't have enough opportunity to make plays down the field. Like you guys were talking about earlier, I think sitting in the play calling room and understanding where guys are coming open and is Trubisky making the right checks and Tom Thayer was accurate. We don't really know any of those things unless we're sitting in the room. So he could be developing. He could be doing all the right things, and everybody around him just stinks.
That's a possibility, but also do you have faith in the people doing the evaluating of everything? The quarterback, the coaching, the depth of the roster. I mean, getting rid of the offensive coordinator, you would love to say that's the only fix that needs to be done, and then you're off to the races. That's not the case.
Truck driver Bill is on the road, which makes sense since your name is Truck Driver Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, morning, guys. I was drinking the Kool-Aid during the bye week.
Right.
I actually spent quite a bit of money on buying tickets for Christmas Eve as a Christmas present for my kids. And after the game yesterday, I apologized to them. I told them I should have bought them socks. It would have been a better gift.
Always socks and underwear. Always good gifts.
We're still going to the game because I'm not going to be able to sell them now. And I bought them because they were lower priced, thinking they're going to win a couple games. Prices are going to go up. I'm going to be ahead of the curve.
You bet on the Bears and you lost.
I bet on the Bears and I lost big time. But anyways, the term that came to my mind yesterday, and it goes all the way to the biggest office at Hallis Hall, all the way down to the lowest guy on its sideline, is the team looks dysfunctional.
Yeah, they're not very good. They're not a very good football team, Bill. And we were talking about it You know, they're trying hard, okay? But I didn't see the real try hard in that game. I didn't see the same kind of, you know, defensive effort. I don't know what you'd call it. It's not effort. It's just there was no swagger to anything they did. And I think it's real easy to kind of get up and play hard against the big boys. But being favored is a different animal. And dealing with success is a different animal. They've had none, but we've treated them like they've had success. And I think that's what ends up biting you in this game.
Yeah, disappointing. There aren't a lot of facets where the Bears have advantages over their opponents. And you see a quarterback getting his shot for the first time in Green Bay, and he's looked horrible in three games, and your strength is defense. You're not supposed to allow that.
Yeah. When does Green Bay
Well, you know what? We're going to ask Akeem Hicks about this next. We'll bring him in and talk to him about it. And, you know, it's going to be a hard conversation because there's not a heck of a lot of happy involved in that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Akeem Hicks joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Good morning, Akeem. How are you?
Morning, guys. What's up?
It was a rough one yesterday. You guys obviously in the game, but, you know, that's a team that had played on Monday, and you're coming off the bye week. And, you know, there's a lot of disappointed fans. I'm sure it's disappointing not to win that game. You know, it's always a battle in the NFL. What was the message that you take away from that?
The message that you take away from it? You know, just like you said, it was a tough game. You want a better outcome. You play to win. So, you know, you got to deal with what comes.
How important is Danny Trevathan to your scheme? When he was out, did some dominoes fall the wrong way for you guys?
Well, your middle linebacker was pretty much the quarterback of your defense. So, you know, it's important to have those. So, you know, you'd like to have him there.
How you know, when you look at a game like that, there was obviously the weird play with the where you're going in to score a touchdown and there's a review and then that falls apart. Does that deflate a team to go through something like that? I mean, given how difficult it is to score points anyway, how did that affect you guys, or did it affect you?
Oh, well, I mean, when you don't have points on the board and then it's a touchback situation, yeah, of course that affects your team. You'd like to be able to have those points on the board when those points are not there, and or the touchdown is reversed. It adversely affects your team. I would say that you'd want more from that, or a different outcome.
I know you said in the post game, Akeem, that you're confident going into every game, but you know, yesterday's loss, did it feel like? For fans, it feels more of a devastating loss because it's Green Bay and they're without Aaron Rodgers. But in that locker room, did it feel like a loss that you guys, you know, wish you had back? Or was this more of a defining type thing? So many people going into that game said, you know, you get closer to 500, the division's in play. Even John Fox was talking about all the possibilities, and they all seem at 3-6 to be long shots now.
I would say that there's still a good number of games to play, and you know, I don't see anybody packing their bags. So I would say that everything that we hope to achieve is still very reachable. You just got to put in the effort.
How you know, were there positives there? Were there positives to take away from the game? Because I think when we go back to review it, there are like a few plays that everybody is calling about and talking about this morning. What is your takeaway in terms of maybe something positive that happened in the game?
There's positives in every game. There's positive and negatives in every game.
Mm-hmm.
The tape is never as good or as bad as you think it is. So that's what we're going to do today. Headed into the office now and going to check and give that tape a good look and see how what really was good and what really was bad. Definitely the loss. So you just got to take that into account and go look at it.
When you see a team go for 160 yards rushing and they got to their third running back, I mean, that That's got to be a surprise to you guys, certainly, because you, your defense had been, you know, that's going to be the best unit on the field yesterday going into that game. We all believe your defense is playing so well that you're going to be able to contain an offense on Green Bay that's got some issues. Were you surprised how effectively they were able to run the ball and break some big plays?
I would say that you never want anybody to have a good day against your defense. Unfortunately, they managed their game better than we wanted them to, and so you just got to take what you take from that and go in and look at the tape and try to have a different outcome next time.
You got the Detroit Lions coming in this week. You'll play them now twice before the season is over, and obviously a division opponent, a team you're familiar with. Did you learn anything? I'm sure you watched that Monday night game where they went into Green Bay. Do you what are your thoughts on them? I don't think they punted in that game. And when Stafford is on, he's obviously a talented quarterback. What do you see with the next opponent coming in here?
Another division opponent. You got to be able to attack them, you know, and really get after them. You know, look for a different outcome than we had this past weekend. Two times to play them, it means a lot for our division. And, you know, just got to go out and execute.
It's good to see guys thumb pointing. Pernell McPhee said that he needed to communicate what he was trying to do on the scramble from Huntley when he got away from Pernell. And Prince Amukamara saying that, you know, he jumped a play too early and should have let it develop a little bit more on one of the pass plays, on one of the run plays, rather. Was communication, could you tell communication was just a little bit off yesterday for the defense?
No, I would say those things that, you know, you want to do better every week. And so communication is a big part of that. And, you know, you just got to communicate as best you can in order to be effective as a defense. And that was an area where we were lacking yesterday.
You know, part of the thing that's been fun to watch about your defense is the kind of swagger that you have, the way that you guys have gone out there and played, and guys have stepped up and gotten made some hits. And, you know, it's not that you didn't have any kind of swagger to that performance, but it wasn't as obvious as what we've seen in previous weeks. Is there such a thing as just kind of having an off day, just kind of having a day where, you know, maybe taking a week off, as good as that is for the body, maybe it affected some minds? I don't know.
Never a good thing, you know, to not perform the way you want to perform. You can try to point out a lot of things. The bottom line is Green Bay won that game, and we got to do our best to manage what we can control, and come out on a different side next time.
Fox seems to have a positive message when he talks to the media, when he talked to you guys. He doesn't really go off on anyone. He like took responsibility for the challenge that kind of blew up on you guys. And he also said that he talked about how close you've been in these games. Do you take that as a coach looking for a positive, or do you say, listen, we're in all these games and we just have to do some little things to turn it here?
Coach Fox is a realist. You know, you got to do your best to stay as positive as you can in this league. But at the end of the day, I think that he's more of a realist, and he shoots you straight. And, you know, there's no possible way he could have known that situation would have turned out the way he did. He was doing the best for his football team, and you got to give him credit for that.
So is it up to leaders like yourself to go in there and maybe fire some people up this week, or do you just flush that game, or do you use that as motivation to get guys riled up and say, hey, we're a lot better than this, we got to prove it?
Consistency. The formula doesn't change the things you do during the week in order to be prepared for the weekend. So coming in and changing, you know, how you attack the game, isn't going to make a drastic difference in the outcome. The objective is to do the formula better than your opponent does. And so I'm going to go in this week and do the same things that I did last week in order to make myself and my teammates around me better.
You know, it's interesting. It came. Different guys react differently. Are you a guy to steer clear of? And after a game like that, do you are you a guy that has a hard time letting go of it, or do you have you learned whatever lesson it is in professional sports where you just kind of have to shake it off, have to move forward, can't kind of wallow in it?
In this league, you get 24 hours in order to really figure out how you whatever outcome. You got on Sunday. You get really Monday to figure it out and watch the tape and go through whatever you got to go through. And then you got to turn that off and start getting prepared for your next opponent like they're getting prepared for you.
Did Green Bay show you guys anything that you hadn't seen on tape and on film on their offense?
I couldn't say so. I think that, you know, it was just really we had a great week of preparation. And you got to go be able to go out and execute. The play calls and slow their offense down as much as you can. And I think that we did a great job of that during the week and just got to have a better outcome on Sunday.
When you have a bye week, do you just prepare for one opponent? Do you look forward to another opponent? Do you feel, you know, you've already gotten a head start a little bit on what Detroit does?
No, during your bye week, that's the time to refresh your mind, refresh your body. And get ready to, you know, get back into the second half of the season where our bye week landed. Once you step back out there, you got to have it on your mind and be ready and be prepared to get prepared for your next opponent. You don't take it, you know, 2-3 games at a time. You really look forward to, you know, who you play next when you come off your bye week.
We've had some people call and say that at the end of the game, it seemed like you guys, maybe it was the success in the running game they had, whatever, but you really stopped attacking the passer. It, you know, maybe you stopped blitzing at one point later in the game. Is that accurate? Did you guys slow down your attack because of issues in run defense?
You know, everything happens super fast during the course of a game. And so I don't have a play sheet in front of me. What I'll do today is go in there and we'll be able to look at all those plays and see the rhythm of the game and how it unfolded. I need to say something that I wasn't, you know, exactly sure of.
Gotcha. All right, great. Akeem, thank you so much. You're a stand-up guy coming on and talking about it again. It's I know how difficult it is, and it's certainly tough for the fans and everyone around the team, but it's your life, so it's nice of you to come and share with us.
Take it easy, guys.
Go get the Lions. All right, thanks.
That's Akeem Hicks, Bears defensive lineman.
Our visit with Akeem brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday here on The Score to Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, brought to you by your local Ford stores.
312-644-6767 is the number. We'll be talking Bears all day on The Score. We apologize to those we didn't get to. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing, and we should congratulate Victor. Victor in Chicago won our first trip to the Dominican Republic. He correctly identified the voice of the Hall of Famer, Dan Pompey. So that is that's how you get it done, and be nice to spend a week winning a trip to the Dominican. Why don't you go ahead and commit yourself to that process right now?
We got trips every day this week from Apple Vacations, three-night trips.
Yeah. You can be the big winner today. And we're all winners. It's Victory Monday because we're winners. But it just feels hollow. Feels very, very hollow, Brian.
That it does on a Monday built Bears tough, Ford tough Monday. This is not a victory Monday, but there's always next Monday. Hey, we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning live at 5. Please join us.
Mully and Hanley on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.